say you're a mayor, a city mayor with thousands of constituents desperate for COVID-19 vaccination doses, and the town just across the river has thousands of vaccines to spare. You might think, well, just go to the other town. What if the other town is on the other side of an international border and travel has been banned because of a global pandemic? Is this sounding familiar? It's exactly the dilemma that Windsor, Ontario faces right now. Mayor Drew Dilkins is with us now, and he says he has a plan for this. Mayor Dilkins, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me, April.
Tell us a little bit about the current vaccine supply status for Windsor. What are you dealing with?
Well, I mean, Canada-wide, we certainly have a shortage of vaccines, and our rollout between first and second dose has been extended to 4 months. And so we're doing very well on the first dose administration. More than 60% of Canadians have a first dose, but on the second dose, the fully vaccinated part, we're less than 6% who are fully vaccinated. And we have a huge demand of people who don't want to wait 4 months, who want to become fully vaccinated because they're anticipating some form of border reopening where they can reunite with their families and get back to sort of normal life. And they want the most amount of protection possible.
I can only imagine what it's like for you to read accounts from the U.S. in which some of our states are practically begging people to get the vaccine, doing things like conducting lotteries with million-dollar prizes if the winning names are for people who are vaccinated, while the situation in Windsor is just the inverse. Does that sort of thing cause you a lot of eye-rolling?
Well, it's incredible to us because we have such a demand here. And if we had enough supply, we would absolutely fill that demand. And I bet you'd have 80% of our population demanding full vaccination very, very quickly. And listen, the interest that we have to try and connect with surplus doses in Michigan and doses that are destined for the landfill is really driven by our unique geography and the fact that every day, 1,200 people who live in my community cross the border to work in the Metro Detroit area in hospitals, as nurses, as pharmacists, as physicians. And so they see what's going on there and they see what's going on in the area in which they live, in our city. And they know our vaccine rollout is slower than what you're able to accomplish in the US and certainly in the state of Michigan. And so when I receive phone calls from a pharmacist who lives in my community and works at a Costco in Michigan saying that, Drew, we are throwing doses in the garbage, they are expiring, we can't get them into the arms of people there, that causes me to act immediately because for us, this is like liquid gold. And the thought that there are doses being thrown in the garbage or thousands of doses set to expire because there's not enough demand 2 miles away from us on the other side of the river, we just can't believe it. We're desperate for those. And so to the extent that I can save doses from going into landfill and get them into the arms of people who are waiting, that's what I'm trying to do.
So what's the solution that you've come up with? I understand this involves the tunnel.
Yeah, listen, the preferred solution is really to try and get our government to acquire further doses from Michigan in a hospital-to-hospital transfer where we can get those surplus doses into our system and administered through the framework we have set up. That hasn't proven successful. So that's caused us to go and have conversations with the Ambassador Bridge, who's offered to set up a vaccination clinic on the U.S. side and allow Canadians to come over. And it's caused us to look at our infrastructure. And we're in a very unique space here where we have an international border crossing in the Ambassador Bridge, which is privately owned, and the Windsor-Detroit Tunnel. The city of Windsor and the city of Detroit, we each own our respective halves of that infrastructure. So it's a unique setup. And so yesterday, our tunnel board met and they authorized me to be able to close the tunnel whenever necessary and for as long as necessary in order to facilitate vaccinations at the borderline. And they said, paint the line on the roadbed in the middle of the tunnel to demark the Canadian from the U.S. side so that customs on both sides can have the comfort they need to know that the Canadians who are going to come down and get a shot aren't going into the United States and that the vaccinator on the U.S. side isn't actually entering Canada. And that way, the Canadians who come down, when they go back to the top of the tunnel, they won't be put into a two-week quarantine by Health Canada.
So how, I'm trying to figure out how this would work logistically. Would Canadians who are eligible walk down the tunnel to the site and then walk back to their site where they can be picked up or get in their cars?
No, we wouldn't have them walk. It's a little too far. But what we would do is put them in minivans, bring them down to the middle line, have them get out, They'd stand at the line, they'd get their vaccine, get back in the Minuteman, and we'd have a setup at the top of the tunnel where they can wait their 15 minutes before they go on with their day. And we'd have the right healthcare resources there to support, you know, in terms of nursing or paramedics to be able to support anyone who has issues. And so walking down would be impractical for most people. It would also take a long time. But the point is, we have a borderline there. We certainly own the infrastructure, and we'd like to come up with a system. And the board said to me, go ahead and do it. Come up with a system that's going to allow people here to get vaccinated more quickly. And frankly, in just a few days, we've had 8,000 people sign up to our waiting list who want to get a dose of vaccine from Michigan.
What's the broader reaction so far? Do you think, have you learned whether customs officials on both sides of the border will go for this?
Well, we continue to have conversations, and I think what we continue to do is find unique ways to deal with a complex situation. It's complex because of multiple levels of government and all sorts of different rules. I mean, at the end of the day, putting a needle in someone's arm is not like sending a man to the moon. This is actually a very easy thing to do. And getting everyone on board is the more complex part. And so we're comfortable in the fact that we own this infrastructure. We have the ability to close the tunnel down. And we intend on doing that and lining up the U.S. pharmacists on the other side to be able to come to the middle and facilitate this process. And we would always do this with U.S. Customs and Border Patrol and Canada Border Service Agency at the same time. We're not looking to do this under the cloak of darkness and to sort of sneak one in. We want to work with everyone to make this happen in a way that gives everyone the comfort they need, that everyone has stayed on their own side of the line and done the right thing.
Well, I'm 100% positive this is not the craziest idea that federal officials on both sides have entertained over the past year and a half, if nothing else. Are there any other? Go ahead. Sorry.
When you look at what's happening across the United States and across Canada, I mean, this isn't so unique. If you look at the Carway crossing between Alberta and Montana, there's actually a system set up in place where there are surplus doses from Montana going into the arms of Canadians who are lining up. They are camping overnight to get across this border crossing. The line of cars was 2 miles long. These Canadians actually enter the United States, they go past customs, they're admitted to the U.S., and the vaccination center is about 100 yards past the customs border, the customs inspection booths, and they are vaccinated while sitting in their cars. They wait for 15 minutes, and then they go back to Canada. And it's just a great example of the spirit that our two countries have, where it's neighbors helping neighbors. We're working together to accomplish our shared goal, which is to vaccinate our populations, because guess what? We are each other's largest trading partner. We want business to get back to normal. And we also have, especially in the Windsor-Detroit area, a large number of family interactions, people who live with family members on either side of the border that have been separated from those family members for 16 months. And events have happened, like funerals and the birth of the first grandchild and illness issues that have to be dealt with. And we have people in our community who have resorted, my own parents included, resorted from flying from Windsor to Toronto to fly back to Detroit, because you can get into the United States by air with no issue. And so my mother, who's almost 80, said, you know what, I'm not missing my granddaughter's wedding. And my mom and dad flew to Toronto in order to fly back to Detroit so they could attend the wedding. That's the extent of what people are willing to do in order to, you know, try and not miss life events. And we know the border's going to open. Let's vaccinate people so everyone can be safe as this process happens.
Jeez. You know, you've managed to get the wheels turning on your side, but there's still some hoops left to jump through. How soon do you think the tunnel vaccine site might become a reality? I mean, are you optimistic this could happen, you know, by the end of June or maybe
soon? Yeah. Absolutely. We could actually do this probably in the next week once we get all of the moving pieces aligned and we're prepared to do that. And of course, we'll work with our partner on the U.S. side who runs the Detroit half of the tunnel and Customs and Border Patrol. We want to work with everyone to make this happen. And the idea here is, April, you have doses that are destined for the landfill. They're going to expire. And unfortunately, there's not enough arms in Michigan that want to get one of these doses. Here, they're liquid gold. And instead of putting them in the garbage, let's get them into the arms of your friends and neighbors 2 miles away so we can all get over this COVID funk together as quickly as possible and move on with our lives.
Drew, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you'd prefer a solution in which the governments of the United States and Canada could reach a more formal agreement about doses. We've just learned this afternoon that the White House has given the green light to delivering 6 million doses approximately to U.S. allies and partners, including Canada, and Mexico. It's really early to know how many of those might make their way to Windsor. But which method do you think is going to be faster, the federal solutions or what you're managing to do with the tunnel?
I think both are really important, but I think our local vaccination efforts are equally important because we are responding to our own community here, a community that is used to having the city of Detroit as part of their backyard. Our supply chains are integrated on a business front. People who attend academic institutions on both sides of the border, and most importantly, families that have been separated amongst property. There are also property ownership issues where people own property and they haven't been able to check on it in the better part of 16 months. And of course, not everyone feels comfortable giving a key to the neighbor. And so there's all sorts of issues in play here. And I don't think anyone's trying to rush this. What we're doing is saying, let's be sensible here. We have vaccine that's going to go in the garbage. Let's not put it in the garbage. Let's facilitate the administration of the vaccine to our neighbors 2 miles away. Let's help them get through this more expeditiously so that we can get the border open, reunite families, and get our economies humming once again.
Drew Dilkins is the mayor of Windsor, Ontario. Drew, thank you so much for your time today, and good luck with the tunnel.
Thanks very much, April.